Now Rabbi Nizal says, Veda, and you should know, Sheyesh b'chol doyer v'doyer roye, that in every single generation, there is a shepherd. This is one of the titles of a leader of Klal Yisrael. V'hu b'chinas Moshe, he is like Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehu Raya Mehemna, who is called in the Zohar HaKadosh, the trustworthy, loyal shepherd, the one who is loyal to his flock. He never let them down. He always defended his flock thick and thin. V'zeh Horoye Hu Oise Mishkan. And this shepherd is the one who builds a sanctuary for Hashem, a Mishkan. V'da, and you should know in addition, Shetinoikos Shel Beis Rabban, that the young children that go to yeshiva, that study a Jewish education, mekablim hevel pihem she'ein boichet, they receive their breath, which is pure, which has no sin in it at all. We're talking about small Jewish kids who are pure. They don't know what sin means. They never heard of sin. They know what it could be. They receive their pure breath, mizeh hamishkan, from this mishkan, this sanctuary that the tzaddik builds. The Alkain, and it's for this reason that the Medrash tells us, Hatinoik, that small children, Kishemaschel Likrois, when we start teaching them Chumash, when we start teaching them to read, Ulehikones Batoira, to enter into the Torah, Humaschel Min Vayikra El Moshe. We don't start them right away from Bereshis, from the beginning of the Torah. We teach them a few psukim from Vayikra, which deals with the sacrifices. Why? The Medrash says, because karbonos, the sacrifices, were pure. They were tohar. They had to be kept void any impurity, all the laws of tum and tara. The Medrash says, let these kids, who are so pure, let them engage with the purest part of the Torah. Let them first start out connecting with the karbonos, learning about the sacrifices. Rabbi Nizal says here, that first pasuk Vayikra, the last letter there, the aleph, Shehu Aleph Zeira, is a small Aleph. If you look in a Sefer Torah, that Aleph is written about half the size of a normal Aleph. Ki Vayikra Medaber Migmar HaKomas HaMishkan, because that Pasuk is referring to what happened as soon as the Mishkan was completely built. Sheoz Koroy Hashem Yisborach, that's when Hashem called to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem began communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu from the Mishkan. The Torah tells us that he spoke to him mibein shnei hakruvim, that in the Mishkan, the holiest part was the Holy of Holies, where you had the Ark, the Aron. On top of the Ark, there were these two childlike images, the kruvim, which were birds, which had the faces of small children. The word kruvia in Aramaic means a small child. So the voice of Hashem came to Hashem, mibein shnei hakruvim. It's brought that the words mibein shnei hakruvim spell the word Moshe, the first letters. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Rabban shel kol hanaviim, he drew his prophecy from the Mishkan. V'alkein, mishom maschilin hatinoikos. That's where our kids, our small children, the cheder kids, that's where their education begins from. It becomes from Vayikra, that little aleph, which represents these little children. Ki mishom mekablim hevel piem, because that's where they get their holy breath from. Umishom maschilan likrois ulikonis latoich haTorah. And that's where they start reading from, and that's where they enter into the Torah. They enter from this Vayikra, from this mibein shnei hakruvim, from the karbonos, from the mishkan, this sanctuary which is built by these great tzaddikim. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Veda, you should know, Shekol ha-tzaddikim shebedoyer. Every tzaddik of a generation, kol echod v'echod hu b'chinas roya, every single one of them is like a shepherd for his flock. Ki b'chol echod v'echod yesh boi b'chinas Moshe. Because every single tzaddik in every single generation has an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu in him. The Zohar HaKadosh says these words, Moshe Isa b'chol dor v'dora. Moshe Rabbeinu is found in every single generation. Where is he found? In the tzaddikim, in the leaders of the generation. Rabbi Nizal shows us that the Gemara, in a few places, when the rabbis of the Gemara were discussing something and a rabbi said something special, his friend would say to him, Moshe, Shapir comrade. Moshe, you just said something beautiful. My name's not Moshe. You are a Moshe. You are a Moshe Rabbeinu for this generation. And every single one of these tzaddikim on his level. No two tzaddikim are alike. Each tzaddik, each leader, Jewish leader on his level, makes a mishkan. Shemishon mekablim hatinoikos hevel piyim kanal. From which the small children draw their holy breath. And each and every tzaddik, based on his level, based on the quality of the mishkan that he builds, he has a specific group of small children that are plugged into his mishkan. Nimtza, we see therefore, sheyesh lechol echad v'echad mitzadiki ador sach tinoikos, that every single tzaddik of a generation has a certain number of small children, sheheim mekablim hevel piyam mimenu, whereby they receive their breath from him, kol echad l'fi b'chinos kanal, each one on their level. We had this recently, a few days ago, we celebrated Purim. The Gemara, in speaking about the story of Purim, talks about Haman visiting the yeshiva of Mordechai, where Mordechai at Tzaddik was teaching kids, and they were small kids, and when small kids sing and talk, they sound like sheep. And the Gemara says, who are those sheep? What's the sound of that sheep? That was these small children, these kids, that Mordechai at Tzaddik was teaching. And the Gemara says that these kids, came lunchtime, the bell went off, and they brought out the falafel and the pizza. The kids said, no thanks, we're not eating. They heard that there's a 3-day fast. We're fasting also. Said, you're not allowed to, you're kids. Tough, we're fasting anyway. We're not allowed. These small children decided to fast. And Haman came in and it says, he asked what they were studying at the time. And heard that they're studying about the Omer Soyrin. And he said that this sacrifice, this little barley, is blowing up his 10,000 silver pieces and everything. We see that what was Mordechai at Tzaddik doing, this great Rosh Yeshiva, was teaching kids, little kids. And this is also what the Medrash says, Shetinoikos nitposn alavoin hador, that small children sometimes are punished for the sins of the generation. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Urei es gidioi sayich, pasture your young kids, your young giddies. The word kid means a small goat, a baby goat, and it also means children, these gidoyim, al mishkenois horoyim, or the mishkans of the shepherds. So the Gemara says, shemis mashkenin al horoyim, that sometimes small children are substituted for shepherds. It's brought that very often that tzaddikim suffer for the sins of the generation. If there are sins going on, Hashem very often will take a tzaddik away as a kapora, as a sacrifice for the generation. It's brought that sometimes when there aren't tzaddikim, the stand-ins are these small children that become the mashkoin, the collateral for the mishkanoi saroyim. Vizehu al mishkanoi saroyim. What's the connection to the mishkanoi saroyim? Shehei mekablim hevel piyem mebechinas hamishkanoi saroyim. Because these kids draw their breath of life from the mishkans which are built by those shepherds. Dahinu at tzaddikim shebedoyer shekol echod oise mishkan. Every single tzaddik is involved in building a mishkan. A mishkan is a place for Hashem. Something that attracts. Limshoch means to draw. It's a place which will draw. It'll draw Jews to it. It'll draw the presence of Hashem. The Shechina, as it's called. Mishkan Shechina. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Ach leida zois. However, for a person to be able to know exactly how this works, meaning, Dahainu lodas kol tzaddik v'tzaddik, to be able to know every single tzaddik in the generation, Ezehem hatinoikes shashayachim loy, which group of children are plugged into this particular tzaddik, the kama heim mekablim imenu, and how much are they drawing from him? What percentage, what level of quality of their holy breath are they drawing from that tzaddik? Veleda kol habechino sheyesh boze, and to know everything related to this, vahadoyer sheyovoy mehem ad asoif, and also to know the generations that are going to come forth from these kids till the end of time. Da, you should know, mi sheyuchoy lasis nigunum anal, going back to what we spoke about earlier, a person who can make those songs, person who can see the good in every single person and put together that good and use it to sing the praises of that person, who yochoy leida kol zeh. That person can know who the tzaddikim are, they can know which kids are plugged into each tzaddik and everything related to it. This is the secret behind what it says in a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. Be'emes amru, that the rabbis said, in truth, hachazen, a chazen, the word chazen means prayer leader. The word chazen also means a rabbi who teaches young kids, is also called a chazen. Hachazen roye heichon atinoikos koirim. A rabbi who's teaching small children is allowed to do it on Shabbos by candlelight. Usually, the Gemara speaks about there, that person is not allowed to learn by a candle on Shabbos, because we're afraid he's going to forget himself. He'll adjust the flame, he'll adjust the wick, like he's used to doing during the weekdays. But the Gemara says there, but a person who's teaching kids, by him we're not afraid he's going to make that kind of mistake, because the kids will alert him, he's much more alert, he's much more conscious of what he's doing. Different reasons that the Gemara gives for this. Now Rabbein Azal says, Hachazen, Dahainu mi sheyochoy la'asis hanigunim anal. Chazen also means a singer, one who composes songs, a person who can make these kind of songs we spoke about. Shehu yochoy liyos chazen u'shliach tzibur, one who's really qualified to be a representative of the whole community. L'spala lefnei omed, to lead the prayer. Hu roye v'yoydeya heichon hatinoika iskoirim. The Gemara says there, he sees and knows what the kids are reading. We don't have to worry that he's going to get too involved in looking at what they're reading and he'll forget himself, because he knows this inside out. He's been doing this for many years. So therefore, we don't have to worry that he's going to get engrossed in what they're doing and forget himself to adjust the candle. Rabbi Nassar says that the chazan, the one who knows all of these nekudas toivos, he sees and understands how the kids read, meaning, Hainu Eitzel Ezet Tzadik, Hei Mekablam Hevel Piem, which tzadik each group of kids is receiving their breath from, She'al Yodoi Hem Koirim V'Nichnosen Batorah, so that it's through that tzadik and the Mishkan that he's building that these kids read and enter into the study of Torah. This concludes this chapter, and this officially concludes the Likutei Moran, the book of Likutei Moran that was published during Rabbi Nachman's lifetime. This was, Likutei Moran stopped here. After this, he gave additional shiurim, even higher level shiurim, because it was the last couple of years of his life. Those shiurim were written down again by Rav Nosson Zal, and after Rabbi Nachman passed away, is when Rav Nosson Zal gathered up those final shiurim of the last year or two of Rabbi Nachman's life, and composed the second half of Likutei Moran, what we call Likutei Moran Tanina. But this officially is what Rabbi Nachman ended the Likutei Moran with, and interestingly, that this is what Rabbi Nosson Zal chose to start his career with, to start his Sefer Likutei Halachos, is built on this last chapter of Likutei Moran. One or two important points related to this. In Chayim Moran, which Rav Nosson Zal wrote, describing Rabbi Nazal's life and describing the events that surrounded each shiur that he gave, he says there that on the final Rosh Hashanah of Rabbi Nachman's life, he passed away 2 weeks later, on the 18th of Tishrei, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, one of his students approached him and asked him for advice, how can I have Hasmoda? How can I have real desire to learn, an intense desire to learn a lot? So Rabbi Nachman said to him, I'll give you the solution. The solution is to be careful not to speak against any Jew. Because every single Jew is like a letter in a Sefer Torah. The word Yisrael, which means Jew, the word Yisrael makes up the first letters of Yesh Shishim Ribui Oisius LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 souls of the Jewish people. And therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, when a person speaks against a Jew, he's pulling that letter out of his Sefer Torah, or he's putting an X on that letter. He's saying that letter is no good. That letter is broken. And we know a Sefer Torah in which one letter is no good. So the entire Sefer Torah is puzzled. So this student looked at Rabbeinu Zal and said to him, but what about if I see that he's a complete Rasha? What if I see that he's a Rasha Gomor? And Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal got angry at this student and said to him, how do you say about a Jew that he's a Rasha Gomor? There has to be something good. There has to be an Akuda Toiva in which regarding that he's not a Rasha. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal again brought up this chapter on Likut Imran, where he taught this chiddush of v'oid ma'at v'ein rasha, that if you can identify that little bit of good in the person, he's no longer. You take him out of the category of rasha and you bring him into the category of schus. Another, just this last part, what we covered in this particular shir, interesting to note that this chapter of Likut Imran was taught on Shmini Atzeres. Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir on Shmini Atzeres, but he stopped right before where we began today's shir, in the previous shir. He stopped at the end of the previous shir. We know Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos discusses the whole season of Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, that it's all building up and leading. It starts even from Elul, actually. It starts from Rosh Chodesh Elul. The 30 days, we know the Sfardim start saying Slichas on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we start saying L'dovet Hashem, we're preparing for these days of awe, for this major period of tshuva from Rosh Chodesh Elul, the entire month. And then one of the major highlights is Rosh Hashanah, then 10 days of tshuva, then climax but Yom Kippur. But all of that is a stepping stone and a springboard for the holiday of Sukkot, which is 7 days of Simcha, Zman Simcha Seinu, which is climaxed by Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. What is Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah all about? It's about two things. It's about Simcha, and it's about including every single Jew. There's one day a year. We know that throughout the year, you have all of these big geniuses, the Gaboim and the Shuls, who have to figure out who's going to get an Aliyah. Who am I going to call up to the Torah, and who am I not going to invite to the Torah? He's a Rasha, he owes me money. All the billions of reasons why it becomes so difficult to figure out who can we possibly give an Aliyah to. Maybe I should take all three Aliyahs for myself, because I'm the only normal person in the Shul. I'm the only decent person in the Shul. So all of this, a whole year, there's one day a year, Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, where no gaboyim. Every single person in the shul must be invited up to the Torah. What's the message? The message is Azamra Lekai Bioidi. The message is that the tachlis of all of this tshuva, the tachlis of these days of awe, of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, is not that we can get to a level where now I know who the Rishoyim are. Now we can really talk about all of those wicked people in Klal Yisrael other than us, other than our little group here. We're the only tzaddikim. Everyone else is a bunch of no goodniks. That the tachlis of all of this tshuva was to get to this level where every Jew should qualify to be a shliach tzibur, to be able to know that every single Yid has a letter in the Torah, every single Yid is invited in the Torah, and if I'm able to connect with the good, the Torah tells us, Uvol etzion goel uleshovei pesha beyakoy. Pesha, again, poishe Yisrael, the worst sinners. Says when Mashiach is going to come, everyone, the poishim are going to do tshuva. To the degree that we're aware of this, and we live by this standard, we are participating in making it possible, opening a door for all the yidden that need to do tshuva, to do the tshuva, and to bring about the gula shlema. I wanted to say that the shir was given on Shmini Atzeres. The part that we did today, right after that Sukkot, Rabbeinu Zal left on a trip, a very important trip, which was secretive. Nobody knew why he was going, a whole story. And he took off. And Rav Nosson Zal heard about this, that Rabbeinu Zal was leaving on this trip, and he knew that this was going to be months that he was going to be away. He tried to figure out the path that Rabbeinu Zal would travel. He was going to be traveling from Breslov to a city called Lemberg, which was hundreds of miles away. And Rav Nosson Zal took off with his friend Rav Naftali Zal, the two closest students of Rabbi Nachman, and they planned to meet Rabbi Nachman in a city called Krasny along the way. And sure enough, they did. They did. They ended up meeting up with him and spent a little time with him. And then the next morning, they were hoping to see him again. Rabbeinu Zal got up early in the morning and took off, not notifying everybody. They get up, they hear he left, and again, panic. Rabbeinu Zal was hoping to see him one more time. He gets dressed, he runs. Rabbeinu Zal took off in a wagon with horses. Rabbeinu Zal does not like the story with Basia Bas Paroi. She saw the box in the middle of the river. She reached out and said, "What are you reaching out your hand? Your hand is 2 feet, the box is 30 feet away." She did what she could. Rav Nosson Zal took off on foot, running after the wagon. And sure enough, the wagon drove for a while, and then it had to go up a hill, a steep hill, which they did, which took time. And then when they got to the top of the hill, even though we don't know about this with our Jaguars and these wagons, when you got to the top of the hill, the people had to get out of the wagon, and they had to try the wagon driver to know how to lower the wagon slowly, slowly down the hill, because if the horses started going down, it was all over, you know, at the top speed. And that was where Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Naftali Zal caught up with Rabbi Nachman. They ran maybe a mile or whatever it was to catch up with him. And Rabbi Nachman knew exactly what he was doing, what they were doing. So he saw them panting and panting. He smiled and he looked at them and said, "Okay, now you have a choice. What do you want? You want a bracha or you want Torah?" Rav Nosson Zal immediately jumped and said, "The bracha, Rabbi, we'll get when you come back. Will you come back safely and well?" He knew that one of the reasons, Rabbi Nachman already had tuberculosis at that time, and one of the reasons that he was making this trip was related to his health. Rabbi Nachman said, "The bracha, listen to a choice. The bracha will get when you come back in good health. The Torah will take now." And this shiur that we just had today about the shepherds, about the Mishkan, is the Torah that Rav Nosson Zal heard there outside with the wagon after having run the mile and a half. That was where he received this piece of Torah. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, because we knew that when he wanted to say Torah, if we didn't get it then, it would be gone, it would be lost. There were times that he was about to say something, there was an interruption, and it never happened, period. It's in that sechus that we have this shir that we had today, Baruch Hashem, et cetera. Baruch Hashem.